everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Civ Show podcast, where we suck so you don't have to. Although maybe that doesn't apply for this case, for this episode. But I'm your host, Moisos.
Raising Zozo.
And Nystagmus.
Reason I say that is because we have done a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen. We have raised $38,000 for Gamers Outreach last night with the Civ Give 2022. So a round of applause from everybody out there. If you're listening to this podcast, you better be clapping right now. Yeah, that's right.
We did a wonderful job. Especially if you're driving.
Yeah. Take your hands off the wheel and clap right now.
And
it's not illegal. Man, there are some huge, huge highlights from yesterday. Lowlights as well, but more highlights than lowlights. I'll address the one lowlight, I guess, which was we had one issue, which was one of the computer's internet completely died. Actually, a few of the internets died on some computers, including the stream PC, which was really unfortunate. But we got that resolved really fast, but one of the PCs still didn't have internet throughout the entire night. And so we actually, the owners of the LAN center we went to, Invictus Game Station, they were incredibly kind, and they got us on another PC very, very fast. We downloaded Civ on it really fast as well, and we were back up and running. And then from then on, incredibly smooth gameplay. Every turn rollover was incredibly fast. I don't think it was ever more than like 20 seconds, 15, 20 seconds for every in between turns. And I know that is something that plagues the Civilization multiplayer scene and the online scene in general. And it's something that I think we solved, and like we have a solution for it. So like shout out to Parsec for providing the technology for having our players remote connect to these desktops in this LAN center, and shout out to Invictus Game Station for hosting us as well. I think it was a wonderful
event. You know what I love, boy, about the way sometimes you present information is, it's the order that you present it sometimes. Requires that the audience knows what you're talking about. Like, just say you were tuning into a podcast and you weren't quite sure what it is that you're talking about. Like, oh, we raised $38,000, and then you got right into the technical. I love it.
Hear me out.
This is some brave words from a person about communicating information.
You know what's funny? I'm a very good communicator when I'm professional, okay? When I'm in my professional mindset, okay? I'm a very good communicator. So I might have said, we raised $38,000. For those of you that don't know, the Civ Show and the greater Civ community came together and we organized the Civ Give 2022. This is the third annual Civ Give. Our aim this year was to raise $75,000 for a charitable organization known as Gamers Outreach, an amazing organization that puts game carts in hospitals all over the world. And we made half our goal. It was an ambitious goal to begin with, and we're just so darn proud that everyone came together and we pulled it off. And let me tell you, there were some technical things that we had to overcome, but boy, did we ever. And then get into but it's good. It's good. I liked the way, because it's a good.
There's all this criticism of how you did something, but don't worry, it was good.
And then you have to have Nystagmus will interject to say how we're both idiots. Yes. It's
put words in my mouth,
it's a perfect example of what the Civ Show is all about and the way that we do things here. But it was a very good explanation, boy. And yes, all things considered, if you tuned in to Civ Give 2021, the game came to a grounding halt at the medieval era, and we didn't get to finish the game. We had to play Red Death. Well, not this year. We had amazing partners. We teamed up with Invictus Game Station in Toronto on Yonge Street. We teamed up with Parsec. We had even Twitch, I think you could say, was a great partner. 2K, all of these great partners. They got us the front page. All of these partners came together. And all of the amazing participants, we had Lege from France tuning in. Okay, we had McWhiskey from Ireland. We had California, we had Canada. It was this amazing event. Everyone came together and we did a good thing. You're absolutely right. And $38,000 US, that's like 51,000 Canadian. That's probably like, I don't know, a million pesos.
I think you're over. You really overestimate the value.
53.
Does that speak to how bad our economy is or how good the American economy is?
Oh, no. Nystagmus. That's inaccurate. I wouldn't just throw that number out. I use a calculator first. Okay. It's 51K.
All right. He's fact checking you right now.
Look at Boom. He's going. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nystagmus.
I got 49, but whatever.
Well, 38,000. Well, I don't know. Google tells me that our dollar's worth $1.37 as of this podcast. So maybe in British Columbia, the dollar's worth a little less. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, fantastic event. That we had one brief, you're right, technical issue, and really wasn't our. It was like we could have anticipated, and we will now that yeah, we'll have it's an extra
something
game.
That we learned from.
It, for sure. And every Civ yeah. give we learn something, and every Civ give we challenge. And I think the real feat here, like we have been talking all year. It's been a like we said, me and Boya were saying we didn't
People
get any
think
sleep.
I'm being dramatic. No sleep. I'm not no being sleep. Dramatic. It was literally from January. Okay, the no sleep is dramatic, but like from January to December. All that year,
number one concern. Number one concern. What can we do? And we tried so many things out, and it ultimately came down to the most kind of traditional solution for those of us that grew up in, you know, the late 90s, the early O's. The LAN party was the most epic thing way to do a sleepover. All right. I remember we'd have a sleepover weekend. I would host them and like eight people, and we would cram in and we would host a LAN game, local area network. That's like part of my passion for Civ. I've been playing Civ since Civ 1, but one of the most epic games ever was Civ 4 LAN party at my friend's. And I was Zozo and all of my cities, you know, giving them those crazy names. And one of the most epic games, I brought my flag, and it was a weekend of, and it's just so much fun. So that's what we did. We went old school. We got the LAN and we hooked up to the LAN. It was basically like a long range puppet show. We hooked up to the LAN utilizing Parsec's amazing remote control technology. And we had that gamers in Romania, gamers in France, in England, in Cali, in Ireland. Sorry, McWhiskey, in Ireland, in California, you know, in New York, they were controlling their computers from home. It was actually, I meant to take a video and I didn't. It was kind of eerie.
Same.
It was kind of eerie. It was kind of eerie seeing all of these monitors on and the mice were moving and knowing like, oh, that's somebody. Thousands of miles away.
Can I add to this?
Yeah.
It was funny when like, so like, Invictus is a business and people were coming in on a regular Sunday and like wanting to play games. And it was funny to see all of the reactions as soon as they stepped in and they watched all these computers where no one was sitting, but everything was moving.
Yeah.
And they were just so confused of like, is this available? And then
I'm
like, no, it's taken. Like all this is reserved and taken.
No, it's aliens.
And they're just
aliens.
Around and
it
they're just aliens. So confused.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. It was funny.
So, but yeah, it worked. The solution worked. We set up the LAN. Yeah, we could have done more. It's not exactly easy to test, you know, 12 people from around the world. You know, we did our best with the testing, and now we know have a couple extra computers, and like there are some things that you can't control, like the internet crashing, like. We knew that.
Yeah.
Hey, we did a SWOT analysis, and that was one of the possible threats that the internet could crash. Okay. But we pulled it off and we got a complete game. We didn't see a victory screen, but
we would have.
And there's much to even to, and that's like a lot you can dissect there about the victories that could have been. It was I think highlight for me. Myself and Sassy Gamer Lady, Team Raising Sass, we started on the opposite sides of the planet, naturally. And very interesting starting locations. But Sass, oh, she brought the sass. She declared war early. And literally, she was one attack short of taking out Van Bradley's capital.
We witnessed it.
We were trying to guess.
Watch the VOD in the cast.
What the chances were.
Go ahead in the segments.
Oh no, just the chances that if VB was going to get the walls up in time.
I know horses are not great against walls, but I'm just curious, like,
If she kept pressing, she was done. She was done.
But like, yeah.
She did one attack against the walls and it did nothing.
It did nothing. Yeah. So nothing. That was a well-timed for him. It also, like, you know, the starting location, she was all alone, surrounded by belligerents. Like Van Bradley and Bose, right?
When you say belligerence, right, are you talking about
belligerence?
Like
she was surrounded by no. She was
I did nothing wrong. You were the first one to declare war.
She spoke perfect Zozo. She spoke perfect Zozo.
I know.
And I'm so proud of her. Surrounded by belligerence, and to have that. Egypt, and because Bose and Foibles were on the same team and they're both south of her, right? Like, and then Van Brat, like, she was cornered in.
And Sassy was basically that meme with like Eric Andre, where it's like Van Bradley with the gun. It's like, why would Bose do this or something like that?
Yeah. Exactly. So you have to give her credit. And it's something that I think all of us need to learn to for the Civ give. Is be a little aggressive, or even like, I wonder if for CivGiv 2023, if we can mix things up a little bit to propagate war. You know, if we can, you know, encourage it a little bit, you know, have maybe the wheel of war or a fundraising thing that like, say, because we do like spinning wheels. Maybe we don't have to spin
first
tons of wheels.
It's $500,
you know, or something like that, you know, something where we're encouraging, because early game is like the most fun conflict. Early game is so great. It can get a little bogged down. But it was a really fun game. The one thing I did not like was that VB and Potato McWhiskey were at war with us, with me and Sassy, and they would not have peace. I guess the rule was they were not going to have peace until Sassy asked for peace. And Sassy was like, I'm never surrendering. I'm never asking for peace. So then later in the game, you know, we had Lage just running away with the game. I loved all of the World Congresses. Potato McWhiskey is sounding a lot like Zozo in Civ Give 1, calling on the world to say this that this person is running away with the game.
Just like dropped it completely. He was just like, I don't recognize this Congress anymore. He just didn't care.
We'll get there. Yeah. We're back on the first one, or the first World Congress.
And nobody, like, I think it would have been critical, that first World Congress, if everyone had listened to him and like cut him off from trade. I think that was one of the ones that came up was no trade.
Speaking of
like
presenting information poorly, why don't we talk about what the embargo trade? He was trying to get people to embargo Liege, because yes, like you said, he was running away with it, and he really was. He was trying to rally the troops. Continue.
And he, like, Liege threatened that he would attack anyone who voted against him. I honestly think at that moment everybody should have. I think it would have made for, but everyone was just scared. Everyone was just scared. And I think this next time, like, be brave.
That
be brave.
Like the most real World Congress.
Yeah, that I think would have mattered. I think it would have mattered.
One person just threatening every, like, come at me and I will come at you.
I will.
Force. And you know,
I
mean, what?
It happens.
The events after that kind of showed that there was no reason to be, because Liege did try to take on Van Bradley and he stopped him.
Yeah,
like immediately after that,
stopped
a little.
Stopped.
Yeah, he raided a harbor and then had peace. You know, I would have liked to have seen, because from there, like, Sassy and Liege became friends. You know, apparently they became friends, and Liege kept saying he was going to liberate, but he didn't. And I really wish he had.
He did.
Not until the end. It was too late.
Oh,
it was too late. I think he needed to. The minute, like, and that would have been like the early Renaissance, like when they both declared war. I think that was the time to come in, swoop in, take Sassy's cities back, make Van Bradley a vassal. And I think that would have triggered more conflict, where especially if he had gone and attacked, like, I think I would have rather have seen that. But yeah, I think the attack came too late. And by that time, like, you're attacking with killer robots. You know, the game's over. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the lessons learned there is, like, the rest of us non-gods, okay, because he's, I think, two levels above deity when it comes to AI. He's a world champion. We have to be aware that we need to put on a show for the world champion to give him something to defend. And yeah, be willing to have everybody jump on and just see what happens. Can he possibly kill us? I think ultimately time would win us the game because we would have, 10 players that each have 3 minutes, where it's one player that only has 3 minutes. So maybe either way,
I think that's a little optimistic, but okay.
Well, it's optimistic because I don't think people wanted to. They didn't want to attack. They were content to just watch.
I'm just saying, it's tough words coming from the person who was like literally the farthest away from Leash.
I wasn't.
He would have done it.
I was actually not as far as I thought. My strategy though at the beginning was I didn't want anyone to know where I was, so I disobeyed the laws of scouting. And I just focused because I started on a large corner of the continent, more or less alone. I had ocean on one side. I had a mountain range on the north of me that, yes, Onspot was on the other side. But there was a single chokehold at one point, and then we had water on the other. It would have been a very difficult conflict. And then many tiles away, I had Potato McWhiskey. So my aim was like, I'm going to quickly as possible colonize and take this all over. All of my practice games, I play this amazing game and then stupid work ethic
Don't think work ethic.
It gets me. And it's because I started beside this huge swath of desert that I was like, oh, I can get some amazing adjacency bonuses if I can get desert folklore. And lo and behold, I got desert folklore. All of my practice games, I went gold and I did great. And I went for religious communities and tithe. And I just had tons of gold, tons of science, tons of faith. And I was able to support a big military. That game, I had a huge military, but I couldn't fund it. My ally had no money. And obviously, nobody's giving me money.
I think the burning question I have... you ended up not building a holy site next to Petiti this time. And I kind of want to know what your thought process was when you built the Petiti city this time.
This time it was just, I went and I was like, this is going to be a nice big gold city and I'll just make lots of money from it. I put the +2 gold, I think, in there for unutilized. I just did that. It was a +5. I didn't do it. I've learned a lot since that atrocity. But yeah, the mistake I made was not sticking to my guns. And honestly, the easiest person to attack would have been Potato McWhiskey. And I think maybe that would have been interesting. Lage, though, was across the ocean from me, but probably like 20 tiles away. The map layout was so hard to move my troops around, though. So hard. And it was because there are all of these bottlenecks that I'd have to navigate through and then get onto the water and then go. I did declare war on him in the end, right? I got a heroic age and I used it to do a Cassiobelli. I was hoping that I would be the match that lit the fire, and nobody did. Nobody, like, it wasn't enough. It was not the whole world. Unfortunately.
Yeah, Moy tells me he overheard you trying to rally the troops. Because I wasn't in the same room, right?
Yeah. So.
I will be the sacrificial lamb.
I would be the flame that the spark that lights. I did have a big military. I had like a 1300 strength military, but a lot of it was obsolete because I just did not have the gold. So, maybe by then too, people were tired and didn't want a protracted war. Especially with, someone who was pulling in 400 science and 500 culture, but different creatures for sure. What were some highlights for you guys that you recall?
As expected, Sassy's early war, right? So we were just like looking about who she was going to declare war on first. And when we saw the horses heading towards Van Bradley, that was pretty exciting there. The other kind of like thing that I guess like PB started this, and I kind of just like piled on a little bit because he was like basically gushing over white nerdy's like possible like
Golden Gate Bridge play. Yeah. Park. Oh my god. It was so impressive. Yeah.
Other than that, TGM making the best out of like, man, I feel bad for TGM. So let's be real, right? TGM has like low rolled a spawn two Civ Gives in a row now.
Hey man, you pick Spain two times in a row, you're gonna get bad spawns.
That's what happens.
I don't know. Like, he's so spawn dependent, and like you gotta learn, don't pick spawn dependent Civs. Like, I feel for him too, but
man, but he made a really, he made the best of a bad situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
And then also just looking at some of the newcomers to the Civ Give. So Lumbago had a great game. And so did Wenleaf. Wenleaf had a good game too.
And of course Liege had a great game.
Well, whatever. We talked about him a lot, so I was talking about the other players.
Yeah, come on, Moy.
I know. No, okay, so my highlights, definitely Sassy. Oh my god, Sassy. We talked about her so much on the stream, and we're like, yo, like this early conflict, like the turn before walls came up, we were talking about this, and she had a one health horse, and the city was on like 25 health, and PB was saying, she can take the city. And then I rebutted, like, no, she can't. Like, the horse is going to die. And he's like, no, like, you can take it with that horse. It'll work. I'm like, really? And then she backed out. And PB's like, no, no. And then apparently Van Bradley's chat is also like, no, what are you doing, Sassy? You can take the city. And people were freaking out over it the whole time. And I loved every moment of that. That was amazing. Another highlight was watching Potato McWhiskey. So I learned something new about internal trade routes, and something that apparently a lot of multiplayer players do. And PB was explaining this to me. So the government plaza, whatever city you build it in, gets plus one food and one production to all domestic trade routes to that city. OK, same with the diplomatic quarter, plus one food, plus one production. And then if you build a commercial hub, plus two gold, all domestic trade routes. And then if you pair that up with Magnus internal trade routes and send all your trade routes to that one city that has, like, preferably your capital, you are getting incredible yields from your domestic trade routes. And we saw that with Cree and Potato McWhiskey. He pulled that off, and we can see how much food he was making. And he was early on, he was actually way ahead of everybody. And like, he was ahead of Liege, he was ahead of Onspot, he was ahead of White Nerdy. He was so far ahead, and we were like, wow, like, Potato's really pulling away from this. And he has so much like land, right? So much land that he can do. Watching Potato McWhiskey just pull that off was awesome. And then also what Nystagmus said, the Golden Gate Bridge, I'm just, one, super happy it got built, because Golden Gate Bridge is a wonderful wonder. And then if you don't know what Golden Gate Bridge does, I don't know exactly what it does though, but it boost your national park tourism, right?
Oh, okay.
And so he built a city in the tundra that was,
yeah, but there's like a trees. There's like a multiplier, that's why.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was filled with trees, and he built the Golden Gate to another island, and he filled that city with national parks. Literally almost every tile was a national park in that city. And he was generating like 600 tourism per turn. He was generating more tourism per turn than Liege was. But Liege had so much culture, yeah, so that having a tourism victory for White Nerdy would have been really, really, really hard. But he was getting there. And if it wasn't for Liege, I think White Nerdy would have won.
Yeah, plus three amenities. And then all tiles in the city gain four appeal. That's so it makes all the tiles in the city gain four appeal. And then 100% tourism from all tile improvements and national parks in the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then the plus appeal, since it's higher appeal national parks, that give you more tourism, if I'm not mistaken, too. I think that's where the multiplier comes from. Yeah.
That's why.
So you have like 10 appeal tiles in this city.
He built like parks that were having like 100 tourism just by themselves, like just that one park. Yeah. And then he built like one park of them.
Was 100. Yeah, it was crazy, crazy. It was awesome to see. Awesome to see just some of the late game strats, because like, I'm like, we never make it here. Like, I don't know what the heck is happening anymore. And PB, so informative, so awesome, such an awesome caster. He was informing us like exactly what was going on. He was giving us the math. I was giving him grades of his Civ math. He started out as a PhD, as he has a PhD. Then he got downgraded to a master's because he made one dumb comment. Then he made another dumb comment. Then I gave him a bachelor's. And then he started to come back up to a master's. And I'm like, okay, you got the PhD back. So
we'll have a scale next time.
Those are my highlights for yesterday.
Nice. Oh man. Yeah, it was the day whipped by. It went by so quickly.
Yeah.
I really wish me and Sassy had been closer. We were literally on the other opposite sides of the continent.
So were TGM and One Leaf. They were very far away from each other too.
Yeah, and it did cause, and it is something where, like, you know, if we did do this in person, you know, which is a hope, you know, that's an aspiration for 2023. As we, you know, Foibles was like, oh, we should, and it's like, absolutely, and it is something that is doable. It is possible to do this in person. I think the map draft was a neat idea. It just needed work. And that ideally, if we had the time or were able to do it, it's more based not just on starting location, but yeah, proximity to your ally. You don't want to be right beside each other. Not every Civ needs to be. But for me and Sassy in particular, I knew she was going to be aggressive, which meant that she was going, like, that belligerence was going to get pushback. She needed a friend. She needed an ally there. And I think it would have made for a very, very interesting game if we were a bit closer together and we would have really stirred the pot.
I think our goal for this year is to find a way to get allies to spawn close to each other. I think that would be a very good improvement for next year. I'm sure there's a way.
Yeah, there is. Well, there's certainly a way. We know of possible ways.
It's just spitballing. One way might be, we don't know what would happen if there was another spectator, right? Because the extra spectator acts as a player, and then that kind of makes it odd numbered, and then it kind of like screws up the spawns. The other option would be to turn it into odd numbers. So maybe instead of 2v2v2v2, right? And like six teams of two people, we have three or four teams of three.
Yeah.
Okay. Which might be interesting as well. And then that increases the chances that you at least spawn near one of your allies, right?
And then that would be like no alliance. Like you got your teammates. That's it.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Yeah. I would. Yeah. That would be.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. Next year maybe 3v3v3.
Maybe a 3v3v3v3. Yeah. I think I think two, a team of three for skill sets is a little easier. Like having. Everyone's got like one very, very good player and then a medium player and then a wild card, you know? That's not a bad idea.
Zo, to your idea, this is just spitballing now, right? So nothing here is official, everybody. This is all off the record.
But off the record.
We can take a page out of, I know Zo wanted more conflict and stuff like that, but we can take a page out of a game I know him and I both play, which is Twilight Imperium.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give people secret objectives.
Yes, I like that.
No one knows about.
I like that idea.
That could be their win condition, actually, because we never really get to a victory screen. It's very rare. So
very hard.
Why don't we just make our own victory conditions?
Yeah. Since especially if we know that the give will go from, you know, 1 to 9, we know it's going to be like a solid 8 hours. You know that. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I think like every year we get a little better at something. And this year, like we did achieve the main mission. The main mission was a game that worked. And we did achieve that. And so that means that we will do that again moving forward. So now, yeah, it's spicing the game up, making what are some things that we can do to have that. There's our own victory screen, you know, and maybe we'll make our own victory screen. We have a year. Maybe we have time. We can make our own. Who wants to get this? You know,
can we make a mod? Can we like have someone mod it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Like, somebody, honestly, you know what I want to do?
That gives victory conditions.
I know that we haven't had an update on the letter E for a while now. But honestly, I want to like make a trophy that like goes to the person and then they.
Yeah.
And then we send it to the winner, basically.
Yeah. Well, the was intended to be part of that, and I'll blame myself that I just did not have the capacity to badger enough to make that, because it is currently in one of the players' hands, who it was shipped to them as a trophy in 2020. It just didn't arrive in time for 2021, And so, yeah, maybe we'll play that up a little bit more. But no, guys, I think so this year we did not make our goal. But you know what? There's a lot to that. There's so much good. There's so much good that came out of this. So many people working together, so many organizations working together. New friendships have been formed. And I think that we're going to push the momentum that we have. And over the next year, you're going to see a lot more stuff coming out of the Civ show. Come January, because we're going to take a couple weeks off. We'll still have random streams over the next couple weeks. But, you know, Sundays, the next couple Sundays are either Christmas or New Year's. Right. Over the next few weeks. We might do something on the 18th. We'll see. It'll be a surprise.
It'll be super casual.
Yeah. But entering into next year, I think you'll see a Civ show that is reinvigorated, and we have all sorts of things that we want to do to bring everyone together to do even more awesome stuff. And just for us ourselves, just, you know, we may actually stream a little more. Who knows? Who knows? Either way, guys, awesome job. Awesome job to all of her participants. Thank you to 2K and to Parsec and to Twitch. And to Discord, even, you know, Discord, you helped us. You were there. You did your thing. Gamers Outreach. What an amazing charity. I think really we're going to try over that. Like, let's find a Gamers Outreach. Let's find a hospital that they're in. Let's visit it. We'll throw some volunteer time or something. You know?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
I think we can. They're all over the world. So it's just so awesome. So many. I'm so glad that so many people came together and gave the time and effort. This was hours of effort that people gave up.
Months
of work. And it's a labor of love for everyone involved. And just and even for all of you for tuning in and supporting and sharing and listening and engaging. Thank you so, so, so much. Whatever you're doing this holiday, I hope you're with people that you love and care about. And just know that we're right there with you, okay? Thank you so much. You guys have any closing thoughts?
I can't add to that. That was well said.
Me too. They're well said.
All right. All right. Well, that's it from all of us here at The Civ Show. Have a hoppy, happy, happy holiday. And hoppy and a hoppy holiday. Have a few hoppy beers, okay? That's fine. No, I won't tell anyone. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.